Albayan Radio presents The Muslim Mindset, hosted by Adnan al-Sheikh, Mazen Kurush, Abdussalam Umaylif, and Ahmed Rafiq.
Ramadan Nights on Albayan Radio.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam. Assalamu alaikum to all our continuous listeners and viewers at home, in the car, on a radio app, on an Albayan radio app. Oh, the Albayan radio as well, which Wi-Fi I think almost radio. Sold out. inshallah. You're tuning into another episode of the Muslim Mindset in Ramadan. We're on the 17th night of Ramadan.
Episode 13.
Yeah, of the episode Muslim 13.
Mindset. That's
the one. Episode 13 of the Muslim Mindset. Are we getting any technical issues this week just to break the ice?
Nah, bro. I think this is the first.
I think the volume is a bit low.
Seems like 13 is the magic number.
Oh, right. No magic numbers, bro. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Allah samhak.
Ameen. Ajmarin. I'm just saying, bro. No technical difficulties. You finally pulled it through. You know what they say? Fool me one time, fool me two times, fool me three, four, five, six.
12%? 13th time right.
13th time you get to right. Alhamdulillah.
But you guys then?
Let's see how it goes next week.
I haven't seen you guys in a while.
I saw you yesterday, buddy.
I know. How about you, Mazen? I haven't seen you in a while too.
Yeah, yesterday's over. It's a long time, honestly. 24 hours is quite a bit. SubhanAllah, but alhamdulillah.
A bit more than 24 hours. That was good yesterday catching up, huh?
No, it wasn't actually good. That was the getting depressed.
You know what the funniest thing was?
Well, you want to give everyone context as to what the catch up
was? So we had a school iftar, a high school reunion iftar at our old school, and everyone got invited and we were there. And I'm looking at him like, who the heck are these little kids, bro?
Because we were the second year. But really, like, given the number of people they were from the year above us, we were basically the first.
I could relate to some faces. The guys below us, even though I wasn't mates, I knew them, but I knew their face. The guys above them, we were mates.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the heck are all these guys? And my brother walks in, my cousin walks in. I'm like, they're all graduates. I'm like,
think about it. We graduated. We were telling that coffee place, Gloria Jeans, we're telling them that we graduated in 2014. And it's 2021. Yeah. It was like 7 years ago.
We were there since 2013.
Yeah. But did we have an iftar in 2000? Maybe we did even in 2013. I think there was no alumni at that point. It was just us and the older year.
We're the OGs.
So we were the first iftar that they had. And then to see like literally all these kids. But there was a... I'm not even commenting on it, but like there was a kid with purple hair, bro, and I was like, far out.
The times have changed.
I'm like, there's more diversity, you know.
The end of times I knew.
But it was.
Imagine the guy with purple hair now, you would have bullied him so much that
he left school, bro.
That was funny because, you know, honestly, because I saw the principal sitting there, right?
Big bullies. Speak for yourself, bro.
I saw the principal sitting there and I saw a bunch of people walking in. And you know how you get like, people change over time and with lack of judgment. You got people when they're walking with these haircuts and the things that they're wearing and whatever. And I was watching the principal and I'm just waiting to see how he reacts. And
Mind you, the principal's Muslim.
He just salams to them. How you been? How you going? And then they move on. I was like, bro, well, if that was me back in our days, he would have given me the maddest backhand.
Because he had
it's a different context, yeah, bro. It's a different context. In a gathering of iftar, purely for that.
I reckon he would have smacked us people, at iftar too.
But no, but there are people he hasn't seen in years.
Yeah.
No, what do you mean? The first thing he told me, he's like, you're a loser. So he still smacked
me.
That's
the thing. I think it depends on the people that...
Yeah, exactly. There was this one guy, he had just a rat tail from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just like a really long one, just from here.
It was bald.
I was like, I was tempted to grab him, bro. Like,
you're bad,
like, bro. What are you growing, like a leash?
Allah Sam Hark. Did I dump that one?
Dump that one, bro.
No, it's too late. What was I going to ask you? I was speaking to someone about it. But he doesn't have... It's like... you know how you're saying, oh, he treats you guys differently now that we're older. Mm. But it's like a father. Let's say the father like becomes 50 or 60 and his kids have kids.
Mm.
He can't tell his son what to do. Like, he'll tell his son what to do if he wants to, but he knows, like, he doesn't have control. Khalas, his son's old enough, makes his own decisions.
Mm.
But if he probably knows, let's say in Ahmed's context, like, oh, if he probably knows that the son's more open and listens and stuff like that, he might.
Yeah.
Put a word up. Once you grow older and you know your kids are like that, they're like 30, 40, not going to change. Mm. Nothing's going to change them.
Yeah. It was decent. It was decent to see everyone.
Yeah,
that we knew. And then I think the joke you made yesterday, the wish versions of us.
Yeah. We were saying that like all these other kids are like hybrids of us, and they look like fake knockoffs of our year. And so it's just weird, fun. So many heads.
Except you, they were like new and improved for you.
Nah. I'm not surprised. I'm not used to seeing so many people. Wallah. Like at work, it's just like office, and then me by myself, me and Theo at a job, and see a builder or two, and that's it. Pack up and home.
Are you talking about Theo, or you're like Theo to like?
Theo is Theodolite, bro.
Yeah, okay.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I just got like surprised, like a bit of a shock.
Mm.
Probably the teachers and stuff are used to that, but yeah. I haven't been around that new year.
It's good. It's good to get to see those people as well.
To see how you've aged.
It's a good community anyway, or, you know, better than most.
To see how you've aged, eh? That's what depressed me. It's like 7 years gone. Wow.
Why would it depress you?
Time flies.
Who cares?
SubhanAllah.
No, it's good. What you're saying is good. It's basically what the four chapters are about today.
Yeah. I think if people are like, oh, I'm getting old and this.
No,
and
it's not that. It's not like sickness. Like, you just, SubhanAllah, time flies. You miss the memories.
Yeah, it's good times. Don't get me wrong, but you don't sit there and get depressed over it.
Don't get depressed, but straight up, I wish I was back in year 12. I full hated it when I was there, but now I'm like, man.
Why?
Come on, bro. Like,
we did have. I
want to skip the uni part. Don't worry about that. That was.
We had good times.
Uni is all right, bro. Because uni, you had time during the week to do stuff. I could service my car, cuz.
That wasn't me. But
I don't have a second. Yeah. I don't have a 3 minute.
Okay.
It's true.
But in year 12, I didn't have a car to service.
That's your. Yeah, true.
That's it, bro. You didn't have.
Nah, I think uni life was better than.
Yeah, uni life was better.
All right, maybe 11?
No. Uni life is better.
You're working as well, so you got a bit of money.
You're working, you're making money. In year 10, so. You're able to buy yourself stuff. You're going out
uni
with
whenever boys. You want. You can choose to sack uni or not. You got like you're in control.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
At work, Khalas, you're back to working for someone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
School, same thing. Uni, you're in lot of control.
I guess we'll differ.
Struggling on
that
for point. A dollar.
Sorry, man.
I said I guess we'll just differ on that point. That's all right.
That's right. We differ
as
on
long
a lot
as
of
you
things.
Don't hate each other.
No, I love him for the sake of Allah's time.
Make peace, not make love, not war. What was our first chapter?
Untie the bundle. What does it say on yours?
Untie the bundle.
Oh man.
Oh, finally, no ikhtilaf on the matter.
I want to start us off. I'll be honest, this was a bit of a. I don't know. I found this one interesting to digest. I really couldn't pick out any points from this, I'll be honest.
What?
Wallah.
It's actually so good. It's
so I feel
actually...
like I'm just going to bounce off you guys, but honestly.
So why do you want to start us off?
Yeah, well,
no.
I had no points to take from this, but I want to start us off.
I just want to expose myself until I run out.
I said I want Ahmed to start us off.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
We'll go to the replay. Instant replay. Ref. One sec. Oh, there.
I'm serious. I said I want Ahmed to start us off.
Yeah, me? Look, I think I get where Mazen's come from. Okay.
Yeah, Allah. Well, okay, essentially, it's telling you about, let's say you got a bunch of sticks. It's much easier to break one stick than it is to break a bunch of sticks.
The metaphors,
you know?
Bro. Wow.
If you have 100 sticks and break them, unless you're like some heavyweight.
Get to that level, bro?
Untie the bundle. So you untie, you know, you got Parsi Badunes, it comes like the dozen. Untie the bundle.
You
and
don't
take
cut
one.
It all when you make the bole. You take one.
You separate them.
See what you're doing, bro.
Divide honestly, and conquer, cuz.
If you go to the mums, bro, they won't untie no bundle. They just go straight into.
That's because they got good knives.
Nah, so I took that as well. Separate the pack and pick them off one by one. I get that.
Yeah.
But in the context of Nasiha and stuff, I get it as well. But I don't know, the examples he gave didn't. Emanate?
I like them. I'll explain myself.
Resonate with me?
They brought
resonate.
The point home.
Yeah, they didn't bring the point home.
The first chapter also tells you that it is sometimes when a group of people make a mistake, it's more appropriate to advise them collectively. So sometimes he agrees that even, let's say, you got a group of younger guys that you may have, they may respect you because you'd be older and stuff, whatever it is. If they're planning to do something wrong, haram, whatever it is, sometimes it's appropriate, and I've seen Ahmed and other people do it, to just advise them off the blunt. What the guy's going to do, it's wrong, there's no benefit, whatever it is. Yeah. But as we all know, young kids, not even young kids, like people in packs, they tend to do haram or like less...
Strength in numbers.
Yeah.
So they feel stronger to... Yeah. They're not as... shy or embarrassed to do wrong.
As it is in prayer, in Tarawih prayers, like when you have a group of mates and saying, we're all going to go Tarawih, you always have that one person in your group that isn't the most religious, but you'll see him joining, you know? Yeah. If you put it in the other scenario, and you flip the coin, it's the exact same thing. All right, we're going to go do haram. People will be wanting, they don't want to be left out. So sometimes it's better to advise them as a group, but sometimes you can't, and you know that they're not going to be advised, so it's better to pick them off one by one. And the example that he says, I think very shortly, summarizing in a short way.
About traveling, right? That one?
Don't worry about that. Like the way I understood it, I've read this ages ago, this part, when he was like, okay, in exact same situation where they want to go do haram, he said, when they all go their separate ways, sit with the one whom you expect to be the wisest among them and tell him, so-and-so, I've heard you're the wisest, you're the smartest, you're the most knowledgeable, most fearful of Allah. What are you guys going to do on this trip, on this haram trip? You know, it's not going to bring you any benefits.
He gave him an alternative.
Yeah, and that's right. He gave him an alternative saying that why don't you go, I don't know, do something else or whatever it is that they wanted to do. And then he said, if you want to take it to the greater extent, you can basically go and tell them one by one in a group separately. And when they're separate, people tend to...
you can have more of a discussion with them.
Yeah.
As opposed to in a group. You see, people are more, fired
they're going
to
be more receptive.
Yeah, people are a bit more fired up in a group.
It's a bit more personal, right?
That's right. You get them on a personal level. You know, subhanAllah, I mean, I know I wasn't part of those groups a lot, but one of the things that I did see was, I guess, a favorable characteristic of those kind of mentorship groups that you guys were part of, was that at some point, and a lot of the points in there was, a lot of the goals was to separate the youth into smaller groups where you can be more personal as opposed to a group of 150 people. Like, you know, whenever we would go on the camps, for example, you'd have everyone there and you'd have activities, but then there were parts of that, there were components of that where you would separate into little groups of like 3 to 5 people as opposed to a big khutbah to the whole cohort.
Yeah,
and then that's basically literally the summary of the whole chapter, is that that way you can affect them and possibly change their opinion on what to do. Now that hadith, that narration of the story where he talks about those three men, how the Sahaba did the exact same thing, I didn't really understand it too well.
The boycott?
Yeah, so I didn't take it in too much.
No, it was quite, I thought that one was actually a good point, where it was regarding the boycott of the Muslims during the Prophet's time, where they were shunned to the valley and they were told that they're not allowed to buy, trade with them, marry any of their people, and then I think there was one more condition. Regardless, it got to a point where the oppression was too much, so then one of the people that didn't want this oppression to last any longer, what he wanted to do is come up with a way of changing that, right? So what he'd done is he went to one person and he said, how are you going to accept this oppression on your cousins or whatever it may be? Then he went to another one, he said, oh, how are you going to do this? How are you going to accept this? And each one was like, get us one more person. More person. Eventually they got to 5. And then with 5 people, they stood up against the Quraysh, who were oppressing the Muslims. And that's how they uplifted the boycott. When I took that as many hands make light work. So for one person to have done it by himself, try and go up against all of Quraysh, would have been very, very difficult.
Strength in numbers.
But yeah, strength in numbers. Strength in numbers can be like in good or bad. In this case, it was good, where strength in numbers, he was able to then take on all of Quraysh with 4 other people by his side, and that uplifted the boycott of the Muslims.
Yeah, I think even just from a normal, from a standard.
And mind you, sorry, Mazin, he went to those people one by one. So he recruited those people on his side one by one. And that's where we're talking about untying the bundle.
I think the say, or the saying just goes, divide and conquer, basically.
Divide and conquer.
It's human nature. It's like, for example, let's say everyone's upset at someone, or like your boss or manager, whatever it is. It's like, I'm not going to say anything unless you say something. Like, we're all going there together. You know how it is? Like, when people are fearful. So
You say something first.
Yeah, I'll back you up, bro.
I'll back you up.
You know, subhanAllah, I found this quite funny, actually. There was one of the, because I prayed here, more often this year, right?
And Belmont?
Yeah. And when we were praying a couple of weeks back, or maybe a week ago, during Taraweeh, Sheikh made a mistake, right? Where he ended up praying 3 rakat instead of 2 for Taraweeh. I think we spoke about that part. I didn't tell you what happened afterwards, the week later, right? So he prayed that, and then it caused a bit of a fuss. And one of the main points the Sheikh made was, no one reminded me. Like, not one person in the whole masjid corrected me. So everyone's hitting up at me, but no one said a thing. SubhanAllah, I went back either later that week or the week later, and then he did the same thing. He made a mistake. And wallahi, I reckon the entire masjid erupted in SubhanAllah. And it was like, it started with one. The first guy that was in front of him said it, and everyone was, SubhanAllah, 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 SubhanAllah.
It was like a wave.
Mexican wave.
Yeah, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah.
And I was like, fire out. When one person starts it, SubhanAllah, it's kind of what we're saying. One person says it, the whole. But when everyone, on the other day, when everyone went silent, you know, like, even myself, I noticed that he made a mistake, but I didn't say anything.
You guys, maybe you're wrong. I'll tell you what, I think that's the issue. That's a separate thing. People are doubting themselves.
Yeah.
They're doubting their focus inside that. So, like, bro, did he pray 3 or 2? And then someone's just, I'm like, yeah, I'm right. It's fine.
There's a separate issue, but then that point of when one person does it, it gives you that confidence. It
gives you
that
strength, yeah.
That strength.
It's like in Salah, exact same thing when someone's reading a Salah and they make a mistake. Sometimes I'm doubtful, even when I saw it.
I'm like, that sounds wrong.
I'm like, okay, let him keep going. Maybe I'm wrong. You know?
It's pretty bad, but anyway.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Let's wrap us up, Maz.
Yeah. Right. Be clever. The experienced doctor feels the body with his hands and only then chooses an appropriate place to inject the needle.
Man, not these bad. Metaphors are just...
He's a good sheikh, man.
I reckon he just goes through like 100 best metaphors.
This guy's a sheikh, right?
Writes a chapter on them.
Yeah.
The translator. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's originally in Arabic. He's a sheikh. I don't know about the translator.
Because I know it's like doctor something, isn't it? Isn't he? He's got a doctor or something. Anyway. Next one is self-torture. What's your saying?
Torturing oneself.
Nah, see, that one sounds better. Can you agree to that?
Yeah, I think so.
Sometimes.
All right. I think we've...
Did you read the first example? I like the... I love
the first example...
Where the blind guy, Abu Khalid.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yeah.
But this chapter was very much like the Don't Cry Over Spilt Milk chapter we read many, many moons ago.
It's similar to the next two that I read.
Where it was like, something happens, grievous, something you don't like and not according to what you wanted, you sit there... sucking and complaining and whining about it, you're just making your life miserable. And ultimately, that's where the title comes in, self-torture. Okay? So when something happens, you can't control, you can't do anything about it, just move on. Sort of like what we spoke about last week with the Prophet ﷺ when the baby urinated on him. He didn't sit there and tell anyone off or whatever. You're going to torture someone else in that case. Now here, you're going to self-torture. Don't do it. Just like... Don't cry over spilt milk, in other words.
That's the thing. The longer you dwell without, appropriate course of action, like if there's something to do, do it, as opposed to sitting there and dwelling over it, But
it's
if there isn't...
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there dwelling over things...
I'll be honest, I have
in negativity, it's a slippery slope.
I've had that over the past week, or like just like really frustrated about something. Yeah. And I can
just keep going. Studying at home?
And it's, no, none of that. And it's been kidding me.
The thing is, subhanAllah, like,
you need a shoulder. I mean,
same thing. And I've been just thinking about it. I'm like, the longer you're thinking about it, the longer you can't do anything about it anyway. But you just keep, like, you keep sending yourself in that ditch. So, yeah.
In those cases, you should seek help as well. Like, I know that wasn't part of this chapter, but sometimes it's good to release.
Yeah.
But sitting there and self-torturing in isolation is not healthy. So it might be a good idea to just,
rant to someone or something.
Yeah, rant to someone, tap someone on the shoulder and let them know.
I did that. I went to the same person that called you a loser and got called a loser, bro.
Yeah, some people you don't go to.
Even worse, bro. I don't even know if this is a word I can say on there, but he called me something worse than that. But anyways.
That's funny. For the after.
But it worked.
You can say after 11 PM.
Yeah. There's not much you wouldn't.
One of the examples that I really like and want to share with everyone is that Abu Khalid, who was nearly blind, and he always had this willingness to work, and he got upset, like everyone around him helps him out, gives him tea, gives him dates, coffee, whatever it is, and he felt, what's the word
called? Useless.
Yeah. He said, but everyone else is not doing it out of pity, they're doing it out of love, like he's a good friend, khalas, we're gonna help him out. And then basically they went on a camping trip, to my understanding is, and they cut, slaughtered the sheep, put the sheep on a fire, and everyone was working, whatever it is, and Abu Khalid
was soaking it in water or something.
Felt bad of doing nothing, so he went to the car, got a bottle of water, and he wanted to wash the meat before they put it on the fire. So he's doing it, everyone's screaming, no, 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 don't. He doesn't understand what's going on, he thinks he's the best. He's not the best, so he thinks he's doing what's right, he's helping everyone out, and everyone's saying, no, don't help, we're fine. Ends up pouring the water, and everyone starts screaming. Turns out he's poured petrol on the meat. Yeah. So they can't eat it, and then everyone goes crazy, whatever it is. Not crazy, but the sheikh says that everyone laughs hysterically and khalas, they moved on. That night, their dinner consisted of tea and bread. We didn't let that ruin our trip. But I think the most self-pity would come from Abu Khalid himself.
I think that would happen on one of your hunting trips, bro. I don't know which one of the boys would do that, but... yeah, go on.
I think, to my understanding, like I think the sheikh was trying to make a good point of it and saying, on the contrary, it turned out to be an enjoyable trip because they had tea and bread and stuff like that. Like, they were very minimal. Because I had no more meat. To me, I probably thought about it too much, and that the one that tortured himself the most would be Abu Khalid at the end, saying, him regretting it, saying, why am I trying to help? Like, I'm trying to help and I'm making things worse. So sometimes you trying to help or you trying to do something makes things worse.
Yeah.
And that you should just listen to the people around you.
Oh, okay. I thought you were trying to say, just don't help.
No, not at all. You know me, bro. If people don't help, I'm the first. No, you're the first. I'm the second to poke
them. But not just from the perspective of Abu Khalid, but the friends that went on the camping trip. They didn't sit there and, oh my God, the trip is ruined. We don't have any food to eat. What the hell?
Yeah.
What a crappy trip. We came all this way and so on and so forth. No, they just had a good time, and that's why he said, rather, it was one of the best trips we ever had, you know? Don't beat yourself.
I always tell you guys, because the worst situation is, do you remember it more? If you went on a camp trip and it was, like, for example, or you do anything and it's the best, there's no hardships, you often forget about it. But stuff that the difficulty happens or whatever it is, you never forget about it, and that story goes on forever.
Yeah. I think also
it's a bittersweet. There's a bittersweetness to it.
Yeah. I think there's another thing that to add to that, and in terms of self-torture, I think one of the things that contributes to the way you feel about a situation is your expectations as well.
Ooh.
I think the more you expect going into a situation, the more you're going to hurt yourself coming out. I got an example from me where,
I've hurt myself too many times.
Yeah. Like, just taking, for example, trips like that. I've gone on a few trips, like, with my dad on our own. And it's very different to when we go on trips with...
Mother-son bonding trip.
Yeah, it's very different to when I go on trips with my mum or my sister, right? Like, in terms of just personality, right? Whereas my dad is very much like me. We have zero expectations of the trip when we go. So, like, we'll have an itinerary, but in our mind, if we do nothing on that list, whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? And subhanAllah, we come back and we're like, we're having a blast. And the whole, I reckon we've recounted so many times, the trip was a failure. Like, nothing we wanted to happen. Like, this broke down, this happened. But that's part of what made it, because we had no expectations. As opposed to when I've gone on other trips with other people, we go and almost everything happens. But, like, one of the things doesn't get ticked off, and it's like, that was the worst trip ever.
Oof.
And, you know, like, oh, I didn't want to do this, and I didn't want to do that, and this happened. I'm like, that's because you expected. And I think, like, that's why I'm saying expectations. Like, if you went, even if that didn't happen and your expectation was set to a reasonable standard, preferably nothing, then I don't think you'd have yourself. You'd even get yourself into that position to think about it.
SubhanAllah, you know. What's triggering my memory, like recently I went camping with a group of friends. Ahmed was there. Sorry, Mazin, not part of the group of friends.
That's right,
come. we left.
Mazin can't leave the house unless there's like, yeah.
He's a big introvert.
It needs to be a nice toilet, a good shower,
warm water.
You would not sleep in the bush.
Would you come next time?
You know what, bro?
You would not sleep in the bush.
Do you know how many times he said this to me? And I said to him, yeah, I would, bro, but just not for like 3 days, because he goes, Friday till Sunday night. If you go Saturday till Sunday,
trust me, they say Sunday night, but minus a day, trust me.
No, we leave Friday, now we come back Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
So you sleep two nights, minimum. Yeah. The last one we slept three nights.
Hey, don't worry, bro, how are you going to advertise? We've got like a 30-person waiting list, you're going to add another 100 people on this.
But we should start taking money, bro.
You wouldn't sleep in the bush.
Anyway.
For any interest, message me on 042.
We left early,
yeah.
Ahmed and one car. Another car went after the trip, they said, they're going to go down for some forward driving trucks. I had some forward driving cars and everyone's excited. Anyway, on the way back home 4 hours later, we get a call. We're speaking to my, how was the trip? They're like, bro, we didn't even do anything. Why? Because the start of the trip, one of his wheel basically breaks, almost fell off the tire came apart. So they spent 4 hours fixing the tire. And I was expecting that phone call to talk to them and they're going to be upset. They didn't end up going forward driving or whatever it is. But like, they were over the moon for something so simple. He's like, bro, don't ask me how I put this tire back on. I put glad wrap in the thing and I wrapped it. Wallah. He's like, I'm right there. And that's it, bro. I was driving home. You know, and subhanAllah, like, I was amazed saying, look, subhanAllah, like, something that went so wrong, they weren't upset that they wasted a whole day in a bush doing nothing.
Yeah.
But he was amazed with himself that they made it work.
That's the thing, subhanAllah. That's exactly, subhanAllah, what I was thinking about. Like, one of those trips, now my dad, the only thing he talks about, he goes, you don't understand, I was stuck in the sand, and I remembered back when I was young, I've done this before, I put the thing in this gear, and I started moving it, and I'm going back, and I felt it, and I'm going back, and I'm looking, and it's not working, and it's working, and then we got out. Wallah, so once we were there for like five days there, and he's cheering about this moment that he got us stuck from the sand. I was like, fuck out, bro.
Would you guys go forward driving?
We weren't meant to. But we saw a massive like stretch of sand.
Oh, I love people like that. Let's drive there. It looks good.
And he had we had rented out a four-wheel drive because we were going for long drives. And he goes, looks around and he goes, see, we're doing it. I go, what do you mean, bro? He goes, khalas. He puts his car and he starts driving. And he drives and he just parks and he forgets.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes, I forgot what I was meant to do. I don't remember what it is because I don't know this stuff. He goes, I forgot what I was meant to do when I go onto the sand, something with the car and the wheels, deflate tires, this, that, my body. And he goes, oh man, fire out. Khatiarna. Khatiarna. It's funny, but anyways. But that's the story that he brings up. He doesn't think about, like, we did a bunch of good things, ate at nice places, whatever. He doesn't talk about that.
You don't forget that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Going back to the self-torture, if you had higher expectations, then you're going to torture yourself over situations like what you experience or your mates experience or little things like this.
And the point that I highlighted is that it ends up annoying people. Let's say, for example, people that had something happen to them many years ago in their life and they're scarred or whatever it is. There's no taking from that. Mm. Like, everyone believes, it happened. It was upsetting or whatever it is. But you often find those people that always blame everything that happens in their life on something that happened 10 years ago. That's their bad luck, or they can't think straight or whatever it is. And of course, there might be, to an extent, an effect from whatever the instance was, situation was, but you just can't let it pull you down too much, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere in the future.
I think at the end of the day, like, it's wrapped up perfectly in Islam, where it's Qadr Allah Ahsan Ma Sha. The Qadr of Allah, whatever decreed and happened, is better than whatever you intended to happen, you know? And Muslim loves this ayah, Ahsan Takrahu Shay, wa huwa khayrun lakum, you know? Perhaps that you hate a thing and it is good for you. عسى أن تحبه شيء وهو شر لكم. And perhaps you will love a thing and it is bad for you. والله عالم وأنتم لا تعلمون. At the end of the day, don't just sit there and sulk and mourn over things that have passed. Be content. Be content. Find the solution. Move on. Have a laugh about it.
Be
okay?
content about what you have as well. What you have is plenty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوها. Like, you can't count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're to focus on the negativities of a situation, then you're always going to be in self-torture. But if you look at the positives, that will help you work towards, you know, a better solution, subhanAllah.
For sure.
Handling a problem in ways that do not solve it only tortures you and doesn't solve the problem.
That's Mazen's job. Conviction. But did you guys like that, before you moved on, did you guys like that story of the Bedouin who was dead to slap the leader? Did you imagine what I'm talking about? And this was this week. The one of the Bedouins who was dared by everyone to slap the leader of a tribe. He went and he slapped him.
Oh, wow.
For 1,000 dirham. And then he didn't get angry. He's just like, why did you slap me? He's like, I was told that I'll get 1,000 dirham if I slap the leader of the tribe. He's like, oh, but I'm not the leader of the tribe. Even though he is. He's like, that man there is. That man there is an aggro psychotic guy. So he's like, oh, okay. So he goes to slap that guy. He slaps him. That guy cuts his hand off. And then the sheikh writes, the winner is the one who has the last laugh. I died. That was such a good story. As if you don't remember that one, that was such a good story.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it was right at the end.
Yeah. Oh man, for our one conviction, dealing with a problem in ways that do not serve as a solution only punishes you and does not even solve the problem.
That was a much better way of saying it. Then
have fun.
Forgive me. Problems with no solutions.
Solutionless problems.
Is that yours?
Is that actually yours?
Come on, mine sounds better.
I reckon he's trying to be concise.
Like, that sounds better.
He's just trying to revamp everything. So he just goes, instead of saying, the cat is blue.
Bro, you know what? He's like cat. He's like me when I was trying to cut down on my word count in uni assignments.
True uni assignments, English back at high school.
Problems with no solutions. Can I read it? I need two words. Then, solutions problems.
No, and then also sometimes when you're trying to increase words.
Then you change
so at high school, it was trying to decrease words. Yeah. In uni, it was trying to increase words. So it's like, you'd be like, you are. You'd do anything to add a word. I remember my brother would tell me they'd add words, but they'd in between words, and they put them in white. So when you actually do word count, it looks like there's more words than there actually is.
Yeah.
Some smart stuff, but I don't know if the uni stuff can pick up on that.
I don't think so. Yeah. Possibly.
Problems with no solutions.
Some of the quotes that I saw in this one, I was like, oh, we don't really say these. Like, he goes, oh, how many times have you noticed people driving their cars in a rage, and then they slap the wheel and say, oh, it's always boy. I was like,
it's always boy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. Maybe it was a lost in translation. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
I've got here a pound in the wheel saying crazy traffic, always crazy traffic.
Oh, so he's updating. That's version 2.0. That's the thing. Yeah. Maybe back in the times.
That's something I do. I'm a bit of a road rager. I got to fix that. But I guess that's not a problem with no solution. Like, what am I going to do? Sit there, get angry. Even though I do think half of Australia deserves to have their license revoked. But that's another story.
Ahmed makes people fail their optometry, their glasses thing, so they can, what's it called?
Get off the road.
Yeah.
No, but like, it's true. I don't have a solution to it. Why am I sitting there, you know, getting angry over it?
Mm.
Even though if I
You wish you had a solution for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wish. Yeah,
you wish you could revoke their license.
Let's not start this whole road rage and driving. Sydney driving is the worst.
So, continuing with that.
There's a poet. He writes a little poem here. Some eloquent poem. I articulate this. Blah, blah, blah. I liked it. Someone says, "The sky is dark and gloomy." He replies, "In all sulking at the sky. Youth is gone forever. Regret will not return your youth." Blah, blah, blah. I don't like that cheesy stuff.
Just read it. Don't say blah, blah,
she
blah.
"Who was my unmatched love is now the one who has made romance a living hell. She betrayed me after I gave her my heart. So tell me, how can I bear to smile?" He replies, "Smile and celebrate, because had you stayed with her, the rest of your life would have been torture." So locked. He said, "The enemy."
I didn't have that.
He said, "I like it. The enemies around me are getting louder and louder. How can one rejoice while surrounded by the enemy? Smile, for they didn't target you with malice, because maybe you were better and greater than them." I don't get that
I
one.
I didn't have any of that. This was a very short chapter for us.
Yeah, this is like one page.
Yeah.
If not,
get out of here. This one's all right. Or he says here, "Beware of letting your difficulties affect your demeanor at work, with your children or with your friends. Why cause them to suffer with you, especially when they neither have any share in the blame nor possess any solution?" And that was a good point. Not to let your sadness, upsetness.
I think just the main
transfer
thing
onto others.
I don't know what
I kick the cat.
Yeah,
that's right.
Have I mean, we what I looked at, yeah, was just.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, the example that he gave in our chapter, one of them was just how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed death, because that's a problem with no solution, you know, and in terms of how we're not allowed to, you know, scream this and that or whatever. All of the chaotic reactions, because it's first of all, it's not going to solve it, and secondly, nothing is going to solve what has just happened, because that is a solutionless problem.
I've experienced people in my life where someone died a year ago, 2 years ago, and they'll think about their memories and then they'll cry, and then I tell them, like, why are you thinking about it? Like, and then, like, if it's just going to make you upset, like, why are you crying? And everyone else tells them, like, you know, it's fine, it's healthy, let them remember and cry over it. They don't mourn, like, I think mourning is like when you scream.
They don't go crazy over it.
No, they don't go crazy, they just shed tears and
stuff
like that.
They just remember, memories.
Yeah, do you think that's not
human
right?
Human nature, I
think. Yeah, the only thing is, depends where, how far you let it take you. Because then, you take it too far, then it leads you into depression and...
No, they don't do that, it's just like...
But that...
They just think about it, and it makes them upset, and they cry, and then... You know, they end up making a dua and so on and so forth.
I think it's human nature. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ wanted to go visit his mother's grave?
I know he was wanted to visit his parents' grave, and Allah instructed him not to, I believe, right?
Yeah, but I'm not too sure. I remember what the last one. I remember something along those lines. But it just shows it's human nature to think of others. Like, even I've got a friend that's overseas, and I randomly remembered him and I gave him a call.
Yeah.
Like, same thing. Let's say someone wants to pass away, you're gonna eventually remember them when you come across a memory or whatever it is, and it's alright to be.
Yeah.
I guess don't let it overtake you. Yeah. Is the main.
And I think that follows onto the next
right?
chapter.
Don't let it ruin your day or anything like that. I guess it's healthy to remember death, but don't let it.
And I really like this. Don't let it affect everyone. Like, you don't want to be that. Sometimes you see people at work where, like, they walk into work and straight away you see they're sad or upset or wrong, whatever it is. And I guess it's human nature, and sometimes it's hard to hide your emotions. But other times you find people that are very happy in life and every this and that, and everything's gone good for them. And you find out the story about how deep they are in, for example, debt. Not that it's the right thing to do, and this and that. And it looks like all they've got so many problems in life, and you're like, oh, I would have never guessed. And for those people like that, your respect just goes through the roof for them.
They're always smiling.
Yeah.
It's like Sheikh Khaled, yeah. My love, please. And he's always smiling, mashallah. Always smiling. Which is good.
Mashallah, may Allah preserve.
Amen, man.
Do I end this one?
Yeah, end it. Alrighty.
Live your life. Do not expose problems you are unaware of. And do not expound on small matters. Simply continue to enjoy your life.
Ooh, full circle.
Is that what the book's called?
Yeah, enjoy your life. See, full circle. Does that mean we finished the book just now?
Alhamdulillah.
I'll see you guys. I think we're just over halfway.
Yeah.
I think, over. Definitely over.
Yeah. Hit us up. What's the next chapter?
Don't cure yourself with worries.
Which is pretty much
it's
like the
same,
one
very
before.
Similar. That's what I was saying. A lot of these chapters are...
They are. Well, that's what he does. He does like 4 or 5 similar chapters. One after the other with different examples of the sorts.
Mm.
But we don't have many chapters to go.
He was saying... Yeah, don't kill yourself with grief. Nothing occurs to us except what Allah has written for us. I said, yeah. He was talking about basically, he was narrating a story where some young guy, father was saying, oh, my child is dying or has a sickness or whatever it is. And he was sobbing to the sheikh, I guess. Mm. And then the sheikh wanted to keep him, his mood happy and not get him too depressed. Like sometimes when I think when people are upset and if you entertain their thought too much, it just leads them worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
So you want, sometimes it's good to do the opposite and make sure that like, oh, look what else is good in your life. So mashallah, you've got this going for you, you've got this going for you, you're blessed with so many other things. And to me personally, that happened to me recently where I was a bit upset and someone's like, bro, you've got everything good for you, like don't let one little thing.
That's the thing, the more you think, the more you're going to drive yourself crazy.
Mm.
And that's really like the truth of the matter, because the more you're going to think about it, the more you're going to start focusing on the little necessities, or not necessities,
the little necessities.
the little simple details that don't contribute anything to your situation.
Yeah.
You know, like subhanAllah, when someone, you know, you'll notice when someone dies, you have the people that are wailing and getting all upset, like they'll think about the smallest things. Oh, his hair color was this. Oh, he was doing this. He used to say this word. Like, you know, all of these little things, when we think, they come to our mind. And it's human nature. It's normal if we let ourselves get there. Right. And that's the thing where you're going to kill yourself by grief if you let yourself go down that rabbit hole and then start thinking about all the little bits and pieces. Whereas if you kind of look at it holistically and not dwell, but rather like just learn from the situation or see where you're at and trying to make an informed and proper
calculated decision.
Decision as to how you should approach this. We're not affected by that, you know. I guess that's what I took from it.
There was one, he was saying a story here which amazed me. And I think it's that video that someone showed us last time in Arabic, where it went, not really viral, but it was shown to us, where there's a sheikh or a doctor who was over 50 years of age. He, stuff like that. Yeah, so what happened? Yeah, I've highlighted the point, not the story. So there's a sheikh with a big family. I think he had 11 kids. He stayed at home.
They all passed away.
Yeah, and all his family went to attend a wedding in a far place. On their way back, they had a car accident and they all passed away. All his kids and his wife and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what really hit me was that he was saying that, like, although the sheikh or the doctor took it very, very well, and he was saying Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilaihi Rajiun, and he was upset. He took the situation well. He wasn't wailing. He wasn't overcome. He was saying that nonetheless he was human, so he has emotions and sentiments, he has a heart, you know, he has two eyes that weep and a soul that experiences sadness and joy. So not to also brush past someone if something bad happened to them and say khalas, like everything's like, give people their time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the hat, does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he was saying the narrator of the book also says himself, like, if the sheikh hadn't taken a positive outlook appreciative outlook and saying khalas, like Allah bless me with that and the blessing is now gone of his family and stuff like that, and if this wasn't his reaction, he would have killed himself through this grief of constantly thinking about his wife, his little kids and all the everything.
I think the greatest of examples of with that is Ayyub alayhi salam. Right, he had it all: children, wife, wealth,
health
and everything, and all of that was stripped of him. I think he got to a point where he'd have like a maggot or worm eating from his flesh, and he wouldn't remove it. He had nothing. All his kids passed away. His wife, his wealth.
Was alive, I think.
His wife, Allah alam. But ultimately, he lost pretty much everything. And he was patient, and he had forbearance with what Allah had decreed upon him. And he was content. Didn't cry over spilt milk. Didn't self torture. Just hasbun Allah wa ni'mal wakil. You know, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. You know, and moved on, persevered, and then Allah rewarded him for his patience and perseverance. And you may not be rewarded in this life; you may be rewarded in the next. Okay, you don't need to expect the outcome ASAP. Okay, and Ayyub alayhi salam, he ended up getting all and his rizq and kids and everything back, and his health, if not more.
On that point, I remember someone saying along those lines of the story of Ayyub was that, someone was asking him, like, how can you be patient with all this that's afflicted you, and like a doubtful really question, and he says, like, if Allah, something along the lines where, like, Allah's testing me with, for example, in these 10 years, but he's blessed me in the 20 years prior, you know. So I was looking at the bright side, that like all the the not the benefits or the blessings that he had before, and being content with what he had. And it's only a small time that we're going to be here anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I was thinking about recently in the last week, I came across it, was very similar to Ayyub, maybe not to that extent, alayhi salam, but also Yusuf, alayhi salam. And I was at a talk where I was kind of mentioning that, and I was like, you know, how do you have that level of tawakkul where even when you're afflicted with these things, you turn it back to Allah? Because it's hard, like we said, you're human. You tend to feel like, I can solve this situation.
Your brothers betray you, you end up in prison.
It's like, what can I do this?
Become
what
a slave.
Can I do that? Can I do this? And you forget that at the end of the day, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know? And like you said, all of those things that happened afflicted Yusuf alayhi salam. And it's something that if we experienced, you know, 10% of it, we would have found a serious struggle. You know? But in even through all of that, I think this is a learning point for me, so I advise myself before anyone else as well, is that remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those moments helps. Because when Yusuf alayhi salam was in that situation where he was got threatened with prison or whatever, remember that what he said was, indeed, prison is more beloved to me than أحب إلي من, I forgot what it was. But the point is, he preferred, than what you're calling me to. That's what it was, the people. So he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he remembered his purpose. Why am I doing what I'm doing, and why am I withstanding this pain or this suffering? And you remember that it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you're doing this at the end of the day, everything comes down to doing things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
100.
Wrap us up, Mazen. I think that's it. That's it for the thing. That was a solid
enlightenment. Live your life with what you have available, and you will always be happy.
I think two words to sum it all up is Hakuna Matata.
What a wonderful phrase.
What a wonderful phrase.
What do you say?
What does it mean? It
means no worries.
For the rest of your days.
Is it problem free?
Philosophy.
Hakuna Matata, that's what it was.
Are we having an episode next week, boys?
Allah Alam.
It's the Ashur Lawakhir.
Yeah, I was possibly thinking of staying here at TKF, or maybe Rizvi or some other place.
TKF.
What do you guys think? We'll just make a decision after and post it up on the Facebook page for everyone.
Yeah, inshallah.
I was actually thinking of coming here as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
I won't be able to come here. So.
Are you going
to
sack me?
But if you guys are able to do it at TKF, if you guys do it at TKF here, then I can come and we can still do this, an episode.
Okay, inshallah.
If you do it elsewhere, then we can't.
All right, we'll see, inshallah.
No worries, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. You guys only got last one. Like, the next chapters is better than these ones.
These were alright.
I like them, but they're like kind of focusing on issues. The next couple of chapters, like being content, being solid, or being a mountain, like being, I'm assuming it means like being strong and not too emotional.
You're a mountain, aren't you? And then?
Too emotional. Not really, bro.
Just stubborn and hard to move.
I got a sharp point as well at the top.
Bloop.
Alright, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
Thanks,
Barakallahu
Fikum, for our listeners. Be sure to tune in onto the Facebook page, Albayan Media Australia, for our update if we're going to be on next week or not. If not, we will be continuing to do it at the end of every month on a Thursday, after Aisha Salah, after Maghrib Salah, depending on daylight saving, stuff like that. Barakallahu Fikum, and we'll tune in next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Albayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.